because the atmosphere is like electric. Who doesn't want to look good? And then Jesus is risen, and then you're about to have a good meal. So,
hey, we need to talk.
Hey, Church Communicator, I'm your host, Zach.
And I'm your host, Kim, and you are listening to the Church Communications Podcast. Hey, we need to talk.
Hey, Church Communicator, today we are going to be talking about Easter marketing and advertising. And Kim and I here today, we have probably the biggest brain and the one with the most experience on everybody on our team about Easter advertising and marketing. It is our CEO and our friend, Jason Hamrock. Jason, woo! Thanks for joining us today.
Hey, Zach and Kim, how are you guys?
And the crowd goes crazy.
Yes, we finally were able to convince Jason to come on the podcast. Yeah. We had to triple our viewership. We had to see the upward trajectory.
I've just been waiting in line.
He was like, maybe season two. Let's see what happens after season one.
you guys, it's a privilege to be here. Thanks for inviting me. I'm so excited.
Yes. And some of you may have already heard Jason's voice multiple times. He also has the Missional Marketing Podcast with Bart Blair. Yep. That is going to be a great resource for you if you want to figure out more about advertising and even more about digital marketing and even your website. They have hundreds of episodes at this point of the Missional Marketing Podcast, and they just talk about everything, even church communications related. So that's going to be an incredible resource for you. And we just wanted to share the love with Jason. So Jason, before we dive into the like deep nitty-gritty of advertising, what is an Easter memory that you have? It could be personal. Oh. It could be from when you were a communications director. Yeah. What is something that was pretty memorable?
Oh, one of my favorites. This one is easy for me. So the church I used to serve at as the comms director, we just pushed the boundaries. So one year we turned our entire worship center into a casino.
Whoa.
What?
Kim and I are coming.
Easter? Yeah. We this decided, yeah,
more.
Well, it was, the idea was you are gambling on something.
Oh, wow. Mm.
And okay. So, you know, you've got one life and where are you going to put your chip? And so it was, you've got, you know, the way that we explained it, there's like four quadrants. And so you are in one of those quadrants as your life, wherever you put your faith into. And it was so cool. So we had playing cards that were our service times, you know, we were giving those out. We had, everybody got a poker chip. We had like blackjack tables and roulette tables and slot machines. And our pastor came out. He's all decked out. And he was a blackjack dealer. It was.
Whoa.
It was the best. So that's the idea me. Was the stakes are high. That's what we called it. The stakes are high. And they are. And so that was probably my favorite memory. It's just like, wow, this is awesome. It's so cool.
That is amazing. That is so cool. I love that.
Yeah. I mean,
I would love to.
It was so fun to pull off and it's fun to see people's eyes, you know, and way that our pastor laid it down, he dropped it and it was so effective. It made people realize, I probably should take this serious because I am putting my poker chip somewhere. So anyway, my favorite memory? Of course, with my boys, I have two boys growing up. So always just being able to celebrate with them, you know, personally, that's just like, the best. Yeah.
Now, also, everyone tends to wonder, like, how do we end up wrapping everything into theater? Well, Kim, you can wrap it into theater. So talk to us about your Easter endeavors that you've done when you were on church staff.
We would do a musical version, Passion Play. It was Broadway style. I was in LA. So, you know, we had a lot of people from theater, but we had a lot of actors and we had a lot of access to some really talented people. And we would see somewhere around like 15 to 20,000 people come through our doors during that Easter season. And we had about 200 people on stage. And I got to direct those for many years. And it was a joy and it was awesome. I love just being able to show the story, the message of Jesus Christ in that way, in just a different way, and seeing people come to Jesus, seeing people come and accepting. Like at the very end, we would always just have that moment. If you don't know Christ and you wanted to get to know Christ, and seeing people raise their hands, seeing people come forward was such a blessing and so amazing and really what it was all about.
Yeah, I'll bring it back down to the you know, the normal people. You guys worked in like huge churches. I worked in a normal sized church.
Normal.
So we did not have massive productions, but we did have dramas. So if you grew up in youth ministry, you knew you did dramas. You had those, what do they call them? Human videos. So we did some of those for Easter. And then also like I would lead worship on Easter Sunday, and it was always my favorite service because everybody's coming in, they're looking their best. So everyone looks 10 out of 10 when they're walking in the church doors. Jesus has risen, and they know they're about to have a really good lunch afterwards. So like, they're excited. If you can't preach and lead worship on Easter Sunday, you can't anywhere.
No.
Because the atmosphere is like electric. Who doesn't want to look good? And then Jesus is risen, and then you're about to have a good meal. So those are my best memories.
Trifecta right there.
It was.
So good. Well, that's a great transition into kind of what we wanted to talk with Jason about, because when you get the best of the best on your podcast, you got to go, okay, Jason, we need those hidden secrets. We need to know and understand. Our audience is going, what should we do? How do we let people know about our passion plays, about our Easter services, about our egg hunts? Like, what are the top couple things, you know, you can name it. What are the top couple things that we should be doing that you would just go, every church should do this to make sure that people know what is going on in your church during Easter?
I think you've got to just think through about what's our message from our pastor? What's that angle going to be? And then how do we connect with somebody at their level that's going to challenge and encourage them to give us a shot this year? And that's pretty important because everybody does, every church just about is advertising for Easter. And unfortunately, usually it's the same old thing year after year after year after year after year. And it becomes noise. And it's the, you know, it is the dress up. It's the, you know, we kind of make Jesus soft and there's lilies everywhere and all this kind of stuff. That wasn't the resurrection.
Yeah.
So I always just want to check, hey, go where your pastor's going with it. If that's what your pastor's doing, awesome, because some people are attracted to that. If your pastor's going to, you know, like do what my pastor did, and which is, hey, we're going to turn this thing into a casino, like that's different. You know, whatever it is, I think you just want to rally around that, and then you want to make sure you're clearly communicating what that person's going to expect. Don't do this bait and switch thing going on. You know, if you're an older church, don't throw a bunch of kids on a thing and think that's what the experience is going to be. So I think about that. I also think about having things in your community that people are attracted to. People are attracted to like egg hunts. So, you know, do that kind of stuff. Now, how you get that, we can talk about how you get that word out, but I just think it's being really mindful of who you're trying to go after, round it around what your pastor is going to be talking about, and make sure you're on point with that messaging.
That's a good point, because like even like in our road shows, like we talk about Google, and then even when you're meeting with a mission marketing coach or a church communications group coach, and we're talking about things such as Easter, Christmas, back to church Sunday, VBS, we start the foundational conversation of who are you actually trying to target? Like who is your real audience? Because something me and Kim, we talked about this two episodes ago, like what is out is just like blanket advertising, but what's in is being very specific in who you're communicating with. So Jason, can you talk to us about like, what are the different ways that people can communicate to that family audience? Let's see, like we've talked before and we'll talk even later about like advertising and talking to your internal people, but like, how do you get people in the community engaged with your church and know what you're doing? So what are some methods you do to target?
Oh gosh. I'm talking to the experts here that understand that video is everything.
Yeah.
That's what our society is all known about. You know, here we are, you know, today's the January 20th. TikTok just got saved.
You know,
I mean,
yes.
Right? So TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, all this stuff is short form video because that's how you can relate to people. Right. And so, you know, making sure you're collecting, capturing several advertisements in terms of video from your pastor or maybe your student pastor, maybe both, whoever, and making sure you're using that as the means to communicate to somebody, we've got something that's been special for you and your family this Easter. Maybe you don't believe in God and that's okay. Come check it out. You are welcome here. Right? That simple.
Yeah.
And I think if you capture those videos, you can use those different platforms. course, my favorite is display, only because the data tells me it's Google Display Ads. Because I look at the clicks, I'm going, okay, out of the majority of the clicks, they're coming from 25 to 45-year-olds and male to females, like 50-50 split. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's who you're trying to target. You're going to do that through the Google Display Network. Mm-hmm. You know, don't use Facebook ads. Unless you want to reach, which isn't a problem, mostly female and, you know, 55 and older. That's great. I mean, because that's important. Just don't think we're going to have a bunch of young people by using Facebook as our means of advertising.
Yeah. And Jason, that's a good point because like those that listen, they come from like a variety of different churches. They come from large churches, multi-campus, even down to 100-person church. Yeah. And that's a great point that you've mentioned is like you can use and you should use multiple platforms to reach. But being very strategic, if you do have a limited budget, this is the place for you to start. And what we're telling you is use Google Display Ads. Like that's going to reach such a wide audience. And from there, start building that strategy beyond depending on your budget.
You know, you said something that's important because not everybody's looking for the big mega church who has all the fog and sound and lights and all that stuff.
Right.
That's attractive to some people.
Yeah.
And then there's other people who are going, nah, I'd like a church of, you know, 400 or 500 people. I don't want to be super small, but I don't want to be this massive show. And then you got other people go, no. We really like the 100, 150 people. Find your people. Like, reach out, like that's, you know, you're going to be attractional if you're advertising to your audience and your people. And just make sure you're on your website that's communicating what you are. And that's clear and concise communication. I'm talking to the two experts here. That is clear and concise communication. And that's what you're going to attract. That's how you can grow.
That's so good. I think so often churches that are maybe smaller in size, they look at their community and they go, oh, well, there's a church of 5,000. Everybody's going to go there. So I don't really need to spend money.
Advertise.
I don't really need to do it. You nailed it there. Like sometimes people are looking for you. And if they don't know you exist because you didn't take the effort, you didn't do the thing to make sure that they know you exist by sharing, hey, we are here and this is what's going on with us. Then they may not come because they don't know you are there, and making sure that you make available those opportunities because some people want smaller and intimate, some people want big and to be able to hide in a crowd or whatever.
And I tell you, I could go forever on this, so I won't. The Big C Church is shrinking; it's going down in attendance. We just know that. Why? Well, apparently people are turned off by what they currently are experiencing on the, you know, with the masses of churches. That's just a reality. So there is a ton of people that you can reach that don't go to that big mega church down the street. I mean, look at, you know, 1 in 10 of your neighbors maybe go to church. Think about the 10 neighbors around you. How many of those people actually go to church? So you have plenty of people to connect with, but connecting with them is the key. Personally connecting with them through like video. If you can't do face-to-face, which I love, like that's the best strategy. Get your own people to invite and bring them to church. Like hands down, number one. But number two, use these digital platforms. And throwing an ad out there is fine. Throwing a video out there is way more personal as far as video is concerned. At least that's what they're used to seeing.
Hey, church leader, I am Kim with the Church Communications Group, and I wanted to share with you about the Church Communications Conference that is coming to Chicago, Illinois in September. That's right, it will be September 17, 18, and 19. It's packed full of amazing speakers, amazing breakouts. There's some amazing food. Did I tell you it's amazing? In case you didn't hear it, one more time, let's all hoot for amazing. That's right, the Church Communications Conference. It is a must do in your 2025 year. So make sure you talk to your team and you go get signed up for the Church Communications Conference. We will have some secret deals popping up every month. So make sure you keep an eye on those deals. The cheapest ticket was in January. I'm sorry if you didn't get it. Nothing I can do about that. Please don't email me. But you know what? We're going to have some other deals coming. So again, keep an eye out for those deals and we hope to see you at the Church Communications Conference. So like, what would your advice be, Jason, as far as like, when should our ads go live. Because if you think about it, not a lot of people, like it's January right now. This is going to air in February. Not a lot of people in February are looking for what to do at Easter, because this year, 2025, Easter lands on April 20th. Mm-hmm. So I feel like churches feel like they're not going to start looking for Easter until closer to Easter. Sure. But what would you say is like our best option? When should we start advertising and why?
At least 30 days out.
Okay.
Okay. So we're 3 months out from Easter as of this podcast recording. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you, I would start like mid-March.
Okay.
And here, the reason is you want to have that consistency of reinforcing that you're invited. So they might see it three or four times, and then they might drive by your church and see a banner. Then somebody at the office or somewhere, you know, they run a big grocery store or something like that. They see another touch point. Why do insurance companies advertise and spend billions of dollars on advertising every single day? It's reinforcing their brand. You can't just throw an ad out there a week before Easter and hope that people show up. It doesn't work that way. You really want to have multiple touch points. And if I got on my soapbox, I'd be like, never stop ever. You do want to advertise year round. You don't have to spend tons of money, but you should never turn off that drip campaign, because you constantly want to be letting people know we exist. We care about you. There's God who loves you. We want to introduce you to him here. And this is where your family can get connected. You never want to turn that off. But I'd go at least 30 days out. I would start my campaign. And not only there's reasons, algorithm reasons on ads, as we both know, it's you can run an ad and then, you know, the longer it runs, the better it performs, because that's just the way those platforms work. You don't just turn something on for a week. It doesn't work that way. Yeah. So there's that. But I just like the reinforcement of running that ad, you know, for 30 days, because it gets in people's on their phone. This is what they got this thing. And so we can get on here and let them know they're invited. So at least 30 days. So you better get going. It's, you know, you 2 months to get that campaign launched.
Yeah. I mean, by the time this airs, we're probably a month. We've lost a month. So
right.
Yeah, get on it for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would like to ask you both a question, because I was talking with the church last week and they had a really interesting question, because when we think about Easter, you know, there's egg hunts, there's Good Friday service, there's Resurrection Sunday. They were asking, well, what do I advertise? And they were going into kind of some details of that. I asked them, well, like, what do you guys do for Good Friday? And they were saying it was like Stations of the Cross, and they do a foot washing. They're like, it's more like internal and more intimate. Yeah. Do we advertise that? And I was kind of back and forth with it, because I'm like, you know, like, could we walk into a situation as Christians like that and be like, oh, Stations of the Cross, it's very reflective, very internal, like moments where you go to each station. But a new person, that's maybe a little bit like too free for them, and they don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. So like, what would you guys recommend, like, with Easter, like let's say Easter at Sugar Creek or Easter at Cedar Creek, what should we be pushing?
Yeah, always Easter Sunday. I mean, 100%. So, and I think those easy to come to events like an egg hunt, you know, who doesn't like to bring their kids to have a great time, you know?
Yeah.
That's easy. But Good Friday, when it's sort of, that's kind of an internal thing, because people like, they don't understand, like if you're unchurched, dechurched, you're like, what? Like, that's you. You know, that isn't like exactly what you want to have communicating them. So I wouldn't shy away from, you know, having that on our Easter landing page or anything like that. I just wouldn't run a campaign saying, you're invited to the best day. It's Good Friday. It's where Jesus was killed. You know, you just, you don't really go there. Now, it's super, obviously, it's super important. But I'm just thinking, if I couldn't get them to come to something, the first thing I want them to come is sitting in a seat at Easter Sunday, so we can communicate a message of hope. And so that's probably what I would focus on first. And I'd focus on the family kind of events that are like, you know, egg hunts or something like that. Then maybe Good Friday, but I probably wouldn't go there with Good Friday.
Yeah, I definitely would not do Good Friday. You know, I think we always talk about church growth. And honestly, I think, you know, you have to have a church growth strategy. I think the biggest church growth strategy that you can have is your message. That is growth. That is church growth. That is people growing. When you're looking at advertising, when you're looking at what are we doing to bring people in, that's reach. And that reach brings people in, which then allows you the growth. And so what are we doing for our reach? What does our reach look like? And when you look at your different events, what are these events doing to reach? A Good Friday service, it's not a reach. You know, it is definitely something for us, for the three of us and people like us who know and understand the message already. And it's a time for us to kind of come in and go, this is that moment for us to remember. This is that moment. And a lot of Good Friday services are very like honorable. They're a little more kind of relaxed. If you would, you probably wouldn't see in a Good Friday service a casino, you know, that kind of thing. But then Easter Sunday, this is a celebration. This is evangelical, and that is major reach. And so what are those things that you're doing? An egg hunt, that's reach, right? That's including the community into something that you're doing. And so look at those elements and go, what are those things we're doing that is a reach? We kind of put it into three rings here at the Mission Marketing Companies. And that third ring of people that aren't looking for a church, but they maybe have like a felt need, or even ring two where people are looking for a church. This is reach. And so those things go, okay, these are really reaching people. So let's put some extra effort into that and maybe run some advertising to allow them to know and understand this is a place where you can come and learn more about who this Jesus is.
You know, I love that. I think it's a lot of churches, we double in size at Easter time because we get all of our Christmas and Easters and everybody else that come, but you get a lot of first-time guests. Yes. Also, I think in this conversation, we won't spend much time with it, but it's how do you close the back door? How do you get them to come back? Mm-hmm. And you've got to think through that. You can't just go, oh, I'm so tired from Easter. Okay, see you in the fall. You got to have something for them. And I got to tell you, you never know who's walking through your doors and they have something going on in their lives. And so they're looking for something. Mm-hmm. And what's going to attract them to come back to your church to find that there is hope and healing and community here for me? And you got to be intentional about that. You just, you know, you don't want to just, well, this was Easter. Now next week we're going to go back into our, you know, book study of Romans or something like that. That might not be bad, but I would just think about the felt needs. I got a church that we're working on trying to get a bunch of people to come back after Easter. And we're going to be working on a summer of serving. Mm. You know, because people are into like, they love to help their community. Ew. And so that's a really, in where they are right now, they need a lot of people to help in their community. So, you know, it's just an opportunity to say, hey, we're for our community and we're for you. So you come here, this can be a place where you can really fit in and get connected. So just be intentional about that follow-up the week after.
Yeah. I have a question for both of you. So we always love to resource our audience and give them some freebies. You know, like what are some things that you could do today to enhance your Easter marketing? And these are some free ideas. And then also like, what are maybe some not so free ideas, but some things that they really should maybe look into investing into?
Well, if you've never done like a Easter activity kit, that's always fun. Just like a PDF activity kit for mom to do, or dad to do with their kids. So in there's the story of the resurrection, you know, through the lens of a child, which is pretty cool. And then you have like a coloring book, you have some recipes, you have an egg hunt, you have, you know, crossword puzzles, stuff like that you can do it. This activity kit is just kind of like a fun thing. And of course it talks about the Easter service times and it's a downloadable. And so, you know, you build it, you design it, you put it on your website, but the difference here, you could give it away for free, but the cool thing about that is you could use social media to gain a lead. So if they have to give you their name, their email in exchange for this activity kit. So it's just a way to collect some leads, if you will, by giving somebody something that's of value. So I'm just a fan of like doing something like that for digitally for moms and dads. Of course, sometimes people will print that out and they'll have it when they come to church as well. Yeah. But that's just kind of a fun way to collect leads.
Well, and just throwing it out there in the missional marketing group of companies, we do have those types of packets basically available that you can reach out to any one of us and we can help get that set up for you. If you don't have somebody on your team that could create that for you.
We have
that
one.
Lead
yeah.
generator. Okay, it's good. Fun. What's your next?
Well, I don't put me on the start.
Okay. I don't want to put you on the spot. Why don't you think about it? Zach, do you have a freebie or a not so freebie?
I do. So I'll do both. So the not so freebie, you can always do digital advertising. And like, I'll plug it, going with missional marketing. Yeah. We have some amazing coaches. Kim and I have been missional marketing coaches. So has Jason. And it's a great resource because, again, we come from all different types of churches and different types of expertise. So we can help plug you in. We can be as customized as you want, or we can be as general as you want in regards to pictures and ad copy. We can walk with you through that process wherever you're at. So that's always a great option, is get on a call with one of our coaches. We can help you figure that out, a customized plan for you. The other free idea, and we were working through this with one of the churches that we work with weekly. They are doing, they don't do a massive egg hunt. They do community egg hunts. So you'll see about 50 egg hunts that are put on by just families sponsor it, and they'll do it for their neighbors. And we were talking about, well, if we do an ad, like a paid ad for it, they're going to get thousands and thousands. They can't handle that. So what we were talking about is like, what if we resourced those individuals that are putting on the egg hunt with their own promotional package, completely free, giving them a social media. Here's a story size. Here's some posts. Here's some things that are shareable. And what you can do is put it in the hands of those individuals. And this is what Jason was talking about. The best invite is a personalized invite and putting it on their social media. Like, hey, we have an egg hunt happening at our house in a week. We would love to have you. That's free. All you got to do is hand them that promotional and marketing material, and your people can do the work for you.
That's
so
great.
Good. I love that. I'm going to throw that freebie out there before we go back to Jason of our Google business profile. Let's make sure it's in our Google business profile. Y'all, that is free. We say it almost every other podcast. I'm going to say it again. Please make sure your Easter egg hunt, your Easter services are in your Google business profile. Yeah. We have a church that we work with, that Zach and I work with, and they took that advice for an event that they were doing at Christmas. And what they saw the year before in attendance, they saw weeks before the event even happened. They had that many signups. By putting it in their Google business profile,
that's cool.
They had that many more people. The amount of people that signed up in 2023 signed up early on in 2024 just by them putting it in their Google business profile. So you guys, don't miss out on putting it in your Google. It takes you like a minute to do. So do it.
Yeah.
Okay, Jason.
Yeah. But if you don't know how to do that in your Google business profile, go to missionmarketing.com, reach out to us. We'll talk to you.
Okay. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Okay. I'm doing this with this other church. This is not a freebie. It's a paid thing, but it's kind of a cool strategy. So sort of what you're doing there, Zach, we're looking at the community. And so what we worked on was a direct mail pieces, digital ads, and personal invite cards. So here's the strategy. We're starting it, you know, this is January. We're starting it and we're going to run it in February, March, and April. So we're going to do a series. I think we're doing five smaller direct mail pieces, which I'm a big fan of direct mail when it has a strategy wrapped around it. Do not let your lead pastor say, I want to send out 50,000 postcards. Don't do that. You might as well just write a check and give it to us. Not just because that won't work. But if you actually take this strategy that over the course of like about 2 months, we're going to send out five direct mail pieces. And in that, those communications, we're also running ads. So every time that direct mail piece drops, there's digital ads blanketing the same area, the same homes. It's about 900 homes. And we're running ads that are going to match what are those direct mail pieces. And then we have handout cards to the people who go to the church in that radius of those 900 homes. We're saying, you're on our marketing team. So we need you to be grabbing these and handing these out to your neighbors because they're going to see it in the mail. They're going to see it on their phone. We really want to let them know they're invited to church. We're trying to get them to come to church now leading up to Easter. But that's just kind of a fun. We've never tried the strategy before, but I've done that with another church years ago, and it worked. I mean, they saw attendance of people's, you know, first time guests were coming more often than not by just having this little strategy. The other thing I think I might throw in there is some yard signs. Be kind of a cool thing too. So yeah. You know, just thinking like using your people as your marketing minions, because you've got them all over the place. Right? Yeah. They go to your church, man, get them on fire. So that's not a freebie. That's a paid thing. But you know, it's a great strategy if you bleed into it.
Yeah. And that all goes back to what you were saying earlier, Jason, it's awareness. Like that mailer, the digital ad, the postcard, even the you know, roadside sign, all of that is awareness. It's all helping people become aware that your church exists and this is a place that they might want to visit.
Hey, we need to talk.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Hey, We Need to Talk.
If you'd like more information about Church Communications Group, just go to our website at churchcommunications.com and we'll see you on the next episode.